Right. We usually have follow-up time where we can just think and reflect upon whatever the Lord is speaking to us individually and even collectively. And I just mentioned that usually I have things formulated in my mind, various passages of Scripture that would bring forth what the Lord wants to impart to us as we gather. This last week has been so horrendous, just the pressure and the darkness and the death. And it's not blaming anyone. It's just a lot of different things converging and being released and coming out of death, various places and people we're working with. So that's all positive on one side, but it's still in an environment, a background that I just came here today, and I said, if there was a way that somebody else could just speak, it'd be fine with me, because I didn't have really anything planned, and I was quite concerned about it, so I did call Ivan and Dan and ask if we could pray together before we met today, and we did. We prayed, and whatever the Lord gives, it means that if there's a release, then it's through our weakness that He defines Himself and makes Himself known through our weakness, so whatever happened, it's to His glory, because I know it absolutely has nothing to do with me. I mean, I'm available as a vessel, but I know what the source is. If anything has come out that there's been a benefit or edifying, I know absolutely and utterly it did not originate with me. So, did you have something you want to share then?
Just an appreciation. I think that when you shared from the Word about the Lord Jesus saying, the Word I spoke to you, etc., the Father is working. I'd never really seen the Word and working like that, but I believe that's what He did today. As you spoke, then He worked. And I know I really needed this. Connie also shared that she really needed this Word today, because just to deal with some sloppy thinking and sloppy habits of relating to life and relating to the Lord in life, it's a little self-pity here and there. Just not going to the Lord quickly enough, drawing near to Him how many times a day. He's always there for us to draw near. So if we're living in poverty, it's not because He hasn't provided. We just need to be reminded of the tremendous resource of our God who lives in us. Because when you see the Father and the way the Son related to the Father, you're once again reminded of how we need to relate to Jesus Christ and the Father. First of all, Ivan helped before the assembly actually started with reminding us of believing God for what's going on in South Africa and having faith. And that helped, but then this really helped. And the verse in John 4 about to accomplish His work, Jesus says, I came to accomplish His work. And I wrote down, as man, Jesus had to make choices every day to do His Father's will. I just had a better, clearer, renewed revelation of the Lord Jesus and what His life must have been like. And to realize we've got so many things we do, responsibilities and everything, we have to. That's our life. That's being a responsible adult. But to realize that underneath it all is doing the Father's will. In that which we are doing, it's all about the Father's will. And words aren't adequate. And then when you said we choose to do His will regardless of our emotions, our circumstances, you know, how we feel, even physically, that was just powerful. I needed that. And then He will do His will in us as we choose. And when you talked about faith not being passive, that we go as we have received Christ Jesus, so walk in Him. By receiving, 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 receiving. Like Major Thomas is taking and saying, thank you. Taking, taking. He will give. But if we're passive, we are really, really in trouble.
Well, that's not faith.
Yeah, we're living a life much lower. But to choose to take from Him every day, receive every day. And if we can look back on a day and we haven't done that at all, then we haven't been living by faith. So I appreciate also the fact that our high priest suffers along with us. He's very aware that our lives are hard, that they're difficult. He's not rejoicing in that, but He knows that's the smelting pot. That's where He's going to gain. And I see the life coming out of death in you, Doug, because I live with you, so I'm very aware that of what's been working in you. But life has been given to us. So just as in the life of the Lord Jesus. Anyway, it was all just so very wonderful. So thank you.
Forget when we think about this faith walk and so forth. The faith walk is something for me that's been a growing thing over the number of years, and with various circumstances that I've found myself in and our family has found ourselves in. But it kind of hit with the comment that when Lori said something about that we live a sloppy life.
Mm-hmm. Sloppy thinking.
And so when I, sloppy thinking, there mm-hmm. we go. And I thought, well, okay, but that is me. I live sloppily. That's the only way I know how to live. So in a sense, for me, when I think about that faith walk on that, I have to take that faith walk right where I'm at, not where I wish I was at. And so therefore, that's why I say I live sloppily. So maybe it's a different way of thinking about it, but I just kind of, that's the way I thought of it on that. And so it's the kind of thing that, you know, as I think about that, you know, circumstances in life that we have, that we go through, it seems out of kilter. And even for me, it's been just to learn to pray in the circumstances. Just like today, I get here and get the church here, and I know my vehicle is time to get it replaced, but don't really have all the money I want yet to get the next one. And stop and look, and okay, it is rolling with steam from underneath that hood. What's going on here? So I popped the lid up, but I couldn't really see where it was at yet. But right then and there, I said, okay, Lord, you know where I'm at. You know what we need. This is yours. So however you want that to work out. I'm not bent out of shape that it's steaming over there. I'm not sure what's going to happen when I start it up and look at it again. But it's in the Lord's hands. And He knows our needs, our every needs. And He knows our personal and our emotional needs. So today, then, too, that's when Doug called us to pray for the service where he was at. And then when we think about death. And I think I've probably been experiencing more of that in the last several months. And just trying to come alongside more with what's going on with my wife and then with those here in our assembly that I've been more in tune, trying to be in tune with that. And so it is an everyday thing in the mornings and evenings or whatever I'm at times when it just kind of hits me that, okay, Lord, we do not bow down to that death that is imposed upon us and that condemnation that is imposed on us and upon me. On our family, on my wife, on our home. But Lord, we only receive that which is of your truth. And I don't even, for me, I don't even know how that even works. It's just that I'm just going that the Lord will fill in the gaps that I don't know how to say the right words. And that's something that I depended on Him that way. So I just want to praise the Lord and honor the Lord for whatever He's done and He is doing. Starting here in me, and then towards my wife in our home, and then out into the assembly, and seeing His full purpose and His full provision, and that death will not be the victor in our lives as individuals and here as an assembly. He's going to, that death that is not the death of Christ is going to be crushed, that we can receive His life and the fullness of this death He would have us to receive it.
As you're speaking, I always try to listen to what everyone is saying, but also through the word, the filter of the word or the background. There's that passage that Paul cites in 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where's your victory? O death, where's your sting? Scripture, even prophetic scripture, can be complexive. In other words, it can have numerous fulfillments, like Isaiah 6, you know, the hardening of the heart. You see Jesus quoting that in the gospel when he's with the Pharisees. The prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. Hearing you'll not hear, seeing you'll not hear, your heart has become dull. And that is Isaiah 6. And that was fulfilled during the time of Isaiah speaking to the covenant people of Israel in his day. Jesus took up that same passage when he was here, referring it to the scribes and Pharisees. And then you see Paul at the end of Acts 28 there in Rome. He cites the same scripture in Isaiah 6 as pertaining to the Jews that were rejecting the message. So we can see multiple fulfillments of a prophetic word. Some prophecies are distinct and specific and can only be fulfilled once. But some are telescopic, that is, they can have various points of fulfillment and then culminate in a final event. Like, this is what the prophet of Joel spoke on Pentecost. Well, when Peter spoke, they didn't fulfill the prophecy in Joel. So this is like that. This is a representation of that. But this is what the prophet Joel spoke of, and he quoted Joel about Pentecost, and Pentecost did not fulfill that. But there's a representation of that. There's a beginning of that, but it's not consummated, because that which Joel spoke will not be fulfilled until the day of the Lord. So some prophecies, they have a telescopic, an aspectival kind of a thing. So I want to just read from 1 Corinthians 15 so we can look at the framework of what that represents in terms of death. It's talking about the final resurrection of church age believers. And Paul says there in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54, when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So that's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54. That will be fulfilled at the rapture. Death will be swallowed up in victory. You see the same thing in 2 Corinthians 5, when this mortal body shall be exchanged for a body of immortality. It's part of that mystery. But notice, he cites a scripture, and it's quite amazing, Isaiah 25, 8. Well, 25:8, death will be swallowed up off of this mountain. But before that is Isaiah 25:7. First, the veil has to be swallowed up. It's over the nations. That veil is the SRADID in the body and bride of Christ. The veil that's over the nations is that satanic veil of blindness. It's a cult power. It's a satanically generated thing. The actual Hebrew, and I've taught this before in Isaiah 25:7, the veil that is woven like witchcraft, occult powers. It's established through ritual. That's Isaiah 25:7. And then, and upon this mountain, I will swallow up death for all time. That's the millennium. That's the millennium. And yet Paul takes this very scripture, and verse 55, he blends together Isaiah 25:8, and then he goes to Hosea 13:14. He says, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who, present tense, keeps on giving us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This death, this passage, will have a fulfillment of the rapture. It'll have a fulfillment when Jesus comes back to the second advent and the Old Testament saints will be raised. And then those saints, 1,000 years later, at the end of the millennium, this passage will reach its final fulfillment. Because there will be death in the millennium. We know from Isaiah that in the millennial reign of Christ, if one person dies at the age of 100, he will be considered accursed. So it means there will be people dying. There will be capital punishment in the millennium for those that are not in resurrection bodies that violate the law, the word of God. Jesus is the king. He'll rule the earth for 1,000 years as a rod of iron. Well, you won't need that in eternity. Okay? So he as the king will be absolute monarch. Well, so we have at least three aspects of this passage fulfilled. Death will be swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. Well, who did that first pertain to? When Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, in him, death was swallowed up in victory. At the rapture, death will be swallowed up in victory at the rapture for the church age believers. When Jesus returns and those Old Testament saints are raised from the dead and they will be there at the end of Matthew 25 to enter in the millennium, death will be swallowed up in victory. And then those at the end of the millennium who are saved and are mortal bodies before entering eternity, they will not see death. Death will be swallowed up in victory. Okay? There are different orders or toxis of resurrection. Christ the first fruits, and then those at his coming. And so death will be swallowed in victory. Now, in verse 25, he must reign. Jesus must reign until. His reign began at his resurrection, ascension, when he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. He began his reign. We do not see the physical reign of him as King of Kings on earth yet because he hasn't returned to rule and reign as King of Kings. That's Revelation 19. But it doesn't say he shall reign. It says he must reign. He is reigning now until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Now watch this. And the last enemy that will be abolished is death. The last. Well, in him, it's already abolished. It's already abolished. It's a done thing. It's a done deal. In fact, if you look from the standpoint of Revelation, Paul says regarding our Lord's death, he says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, 2 Timothy 1, verse 9, God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own predetermined purpose and plan. Prothesis, purpose and grace. Purpose precedes creation. Grace comes in through the cross to bring us into alignment with purpose. Which purpose and grace was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed or manifested by the, literally, the shining forth, the manifestation of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death. He abolished death. He rendered death unemployed and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So the last enemy was the first enemy. In the death of Christ, the last enemy was dealt with. That death that is still working in the world, that death that's part of that veil that's over the nations, that's what we're dealing with all this SRA stuff. In him, it's already been accomplished. It's been swallowed up. So that's why I wanted to deal with anything that represents any anchor death point, whether it's a conception death event, or something between death and implantation, or something in the womb, or something between conception, womb, birth, and new birth. That death should be the first thing that we break when it comes to working with SRA DID survivors. But there is a covenant with death at age 13 where the will of the person agrees with Satan to hold in death, in their mind, put to death that in them that has anything to do with Jesus Christ or God. So if we're going to continue on this journey, why not say, okay, we need to have a very clear strategy working with our friend in Graz, Austria. You know who she is. We'll name her on the audio here. All this stuff and all this programming and all this garbage, it's death to think about it. Well, death is the last enemy. Jesus Christ already tasted death for us, Hebrews 2. Why don't we go there first? Why don't we go right into the bowels of death, right into Tartarus, whatever it is that's the anchor point, whether there's still death in the womb or there's something at conception or whatever, and let's go there first. And stop allowing death to dictate that it takes years to work through SRI-DID people because we finally get to death, and this is not a blame for you, but we didn't get to that till just the other day. Death in the womb. So God, what does it take to get there first? If it's the last enemy and it's already abolished in you, Lord Jesus Christ, you abolished death and brought life and immortality to the gospel, well, show us the way to get there first. Let's make this more effective because I don't want to put some kind of stipulation on the Lord. But whatever it means for the last enemy to be defeated, which has already been defeated in Christ, how do we bring that to bear upon those who are still in death? What's the strategy? And so those are the thoughts I had about that passage, and you brought up death and how we are subjected to those things because we live in a world of death. You have to remember that the whole human race is on death row. The whole human race was crucified in Christ 2,000 years ago. That's why Jude talks about twice dead. Well, did you know the phrase is used twice dead there in Jude of the apostate teachers? Why? Because in Adam, all mankind is dead once. Unless you're born again, you're dead twice, and you face the second death. First death is in Adam. The second death is eternal death, is separated from God forever. Twice dead, like uprooted trees, you see. Very graphic language. So there's got to be something that we come into as an assembly that can pioneer a way to get to this last enemy first in people who are SRI-DID. Last enemy first, and get there. And find out where the will is that is still aligned with Satan to keep that in death. Because it's not the power of God issue. It's not something that is in God. Where is that will not in alignment with God to come out of death into life? What is dissociated, and what is it would keep that dissociated? What is there? What is it? What is the belief? You see? So when we meet some of these people in this situation, wherever they are in death at a foundational level, like we just the other day, pull that out first. And whatever opposes that, either get out or come forward and find out what's your alignment. Bring that into integration, you see. So I look at that passage. The last enemy that shall be defeated is death. That's historically, that's in time. But in Jesus Christ on that cross, the wages of sin is death. He dealt with that first in his death. That was first. And when he was raised from the dead, death is no more. So somehow there's some release of that which represents the Christ who abolished death, to release that into the lives of those that are still captive in death. If you saw Brennan Manning, his message about how to participate in the healing ministry of Jesus Christ, that's the release of life. It's not the gift of healing. This is not some charismatic mumbo-jumbo. This is the very life of Jesus Christ that walked this earth being released in such a measure that people are changed, they are healed. If it's not physically, something happens to demonstrate that those who were once dead are now alive. And you read in the book of Acts, what is it, I think 5, Peter was in ministry there and people had sick, they were afflicted by spirits. They would bring these people with the hopes that they could just get in the shadow of Peter. If they got in the shadow of Peter, they were healed. They were delivered from afflicting spirits. In the shadow of Peter? What about in the presence of a shadowless Christ? What is that? And I'm not focusing on physical healing. I'm talking about people that are in severe bondage, that it requires thousands of hours for one person to come out of this level of darkness. There is something missing. Yes, there is a sanctification. Yes, people have their own journey. Yes, they need to make their choices. But what are we missing at this point in history? 2016, there has to be a new thing. That's all I know. For me, there has to be, because I'm out. I wrote an apology to our friend that I just worked with in South Africa. Impatient. I was angry. And I had to apologize. She had to be affected by that. God did all kinds of work in her. Did more work in her in 10 days than probably many people have seen in years. Does that satisfy me? No. Why? I don't believe God's satisfied. The last enemy, somehow, needs to become the first enemy that's dealt with in the context of SRIDID. What that looks like, I'm still waiting to know from the Lord. Okay. Anyone else have any comments or thoughts about today?
Just briefly, I think what you said, as you came in, death, you had nothing to offer. But as your journey, as you, as and us, plural, we're learning to take up our cross, abide in Him. That is the release of the life of the Lord. Mm-hmm. I believe that's what He's waiting for.
Yeah.
In a corporate way. It's not just individually.
Yeah.
There must be that full release. I know that's what I believe He's been waiting for a long time. We've all been praying that.
Well, anything else before we pray about the things we already mentioned, talked about? Well, Father, we receive from You Your word, and we take You, Lord Jesus Christ, in us as the only hope of glory. We receive You, Lord Jesus Christ, as the absolute source of that which help us hope, the joyous and confident expectation. We receive You as our only hope. And ask You, Holy Spirit, to teach us how to abide in Jesus Christ, our only indwelling hope of glory. We pray in Jesus' name.